name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is Catechism Lesson 2 on basic dogmas. Number 1, all the basic dogmas must be known and believed in order to be a member of the Catholic Church. Even though Benedict XIV and Pius X were apostate antipopes, they teach the truth in this regard. Apostate antipope Benedict XIV, Ubi Primum, 1740. Clerics should teach those things which the faithful must know for their salvation, and explain the main principles of divine law and Catholic dogma. They should also teach the children the basics of that same faith. Apostate antipope Pius X in the Cherubonimis, 1905. We are forced to agree with those who hold that the chief cause of the present indifference and, as it were, infirmity of soul and the serious evils and the result from it is to be found above all in ignorance of things divine. And so our predecessor Benedict XIV had just cause to write, "We declare that a great number of those who are condemned to everlasting punishment suffer that everlasting calamity because of ignorance of those mysteries of faith which must be known and believed in order to be numbered among the elect, in order to be one of the faithful, a member of the church." Now this is point 2. Hence, all the basic dogmas must be known and believed before one can enter the Catholic Church, either by baptism or abjuration. A so-called member of the Catholic Church who does not know or believe a basic dogma is not a member of the Catholic Church, and thus is outside the Catholic Church until he knows and believes all the basic dogmas. Basic dogmas consist of natural law basic dogmas and non-natural law basic dogmas. Okay, now we're on the natural law basic dogmas. The natural law is in the hearts of all men. God implants the natural law in their hearts at the instant their souls are created. Hence, all men know all the natural law dogmas, even though some men may ignore them or choose to not believe in or obey them. The natural law consists of all the basic dogmas of morality and some basic dogmas of faith. Some natural laws are known by instinct and reason, and all the others are known only by reason. By God's grace, the natural law in their heart and reason, all men know some basic dogmas regarding faith, such as the following. There is only one God, who rewards the just and punishes the wicked. I think that's Hebrews 11:6. God has always existed and thus had no beginning. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, all-good, all-holy, all-just, and merciful. God created all things. God creates things out of nothing. Because there is only one true God, there can only be one true church, one true faith, and thus one true religion. All false gods and false religions contain obvious falsehoods, which all men can detect by God's grace and their reason, and thus even without the knowledge of the true religion. Man has a soul and a body, and both were created by God, and thus both did not always exist. Men have free will because they can choose to believe or do something or not. Men, by their own fault, are corrupt, evil, sinful, and defective. There are evil men and good men. Evil men who die go to an evil place. Good men who die go to a good place. Even all your mythological religions had this stuff about their heavens and their hells. They're better even than your philosophers and atheists, even though at least they had some concept of heaven and hell. Men know that there are things that they cannot discover by the natural law and thus must be learned from external sources. Men know that there are some things they can never understand by human reason. Men know that there are some things that are impossible for them to even know. Now that's the section I ended on. The natural law, some of your basic faith issues that can be known by the natural law. Then we're going to go on to the natural laws on morality. If there's any quick questions anybody wanted to throw in there.
Sorry, so my signal might be dropping. I was always wondering about, I accept that if you reject natural law, if you claim that you claim sin is good, that is heresy to me.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I don't have any example in the magisterium where they talk about this.
The moral law, such as homosexuality is a sin, is a dogma of morals. It was defined by the ordinary magisterium of the Catholic Church, and most probably by the solemn magisterium of the Catholic Church, and it also is a dogma of the natural law. As if the Church was to say, we declare and define a decree that homosexuality is a sin. Anybody who denies it, let it be anathema. And if somebody came up and told you that they don't believe the Church defined it in such a manner as infallibly, then you could say to them, okay, so if the Church hasn't infallibly defined that homosexuality is a sin, is it an allowable opinion to believe that homosexuality is not a sin? And if that's not allowed, then the opposite has to be infallibly true, that homosexuality is a sin, and thus it was infallibly defined by the Church. So if anybody came along and said homosexuality is not a sin, that person is not only immoral, he's now also a heretic. But if someone comes along and they commit the sin of homosexuality, but admit that it's a sin, then they're only immoral, guilty of a mortal sin of immorality, but they're not heretics. So there's the difference. Dogmas of morals are truly dogmas that belong to the magisterium of the Catholic Church and are part of the full deposit of the Catholic faith. Hence, when St. Paul says in Romans 16:17-18, now I beseech you, brethren, to mark them who make dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, which consists of doctrines of morals and faith, avoid them. For such as these serve not Christ our Lord, but their own belly, by pleasing speeches and good works seduce the hearts of the gullible. And in the history of the Church, there were many sects that arose up, like the Manichaeans, that taught that the marriage act between a husband and a wife is sinful. And they were condemned for that as heretics. And other sects that will come along and teach that homosexuality was good, and they were condemned for that also as heretics. And we have many examples of that in the Church.
If somebody is dressing immodestly, willingly dressing immodestly, and actually they're in every single situation, they're glorifying it, therefore it's heresy.
Yeah, if you're a baptized person, it's heresy.
But it depends on the degree of their immodesty. There are certain issues where it needs to be defined by the Church what it is immodesty and what is not immodesty. But under conditions of like gross immodesty, such as when the pagans used to walk around naked, you know, then obviously if a Catholic ever did that, that would be in public, that they would be heretics.
Yeah, it makes sense because obviously no Catholic would dress that way.
No true Catholic, but some Catholics in the beginning may not know all the rules, and they don't know, so we teach them.
So one thing, like obviously don't explain the natural law to everybody, like, yeah, you don't need to give quotes on stealing is wrong, murder is wrong, and all that. What about something, it's wrong on the natural law, and like, here's a good example that you have an article on your site against natural family planning, which people know instinctively that that's wrong, they have the natural law that that's wrong, and yet you still need to sort of prove it to people because it is like controversial to some people.
Actually, natural family planning to prevent conception is also part of the natural law, because all people can know that the primary act between a man and a woman is procreation. And when you're planning to have relations with your wife and to desire not to have procreation, that's the essence of contraception. So that's also part of the natural law. Now, when a lot of your Catholics are practicing contraception, they know it's wrong. They know it's sinful. And they should go to their priest and confess it if they want to have their sin remitted. But if they were to come out and say that practicing contraception is not sinful at all, then you're a heretic also.
And I would say that's natural law too, though. I would. But it's a good point you brought up, because that's natural. Wait a second. We're married. I want to have kids. Every time I have relations, you got to want to have kids, even though you can't have kids. Even if you're barren, you got to want to have kids if God, by a miracle, gives you kids. So the natural, even natural family planning is against natural law. All right. Now, I'll go on with the, we're on here. Point seven. Now we're getting, by the natural law, in their heart, all men know all the basic dogmas of morals. The basic dogmas of morals. What follows is a list of a few, all of which can be known by reason and instinct. Murder is evil. Adultery is evil. Homosexuality, bestiality, and transgenderism are evil. Abortion is evil. Stealing is evil. Lying is evil. Obedience must be given to lawful superiors. Hence, wives must obey their husbands. Children must obey their parents. Citizens must obey their civil authorities. Workers must obey their bosses. Students must obey their teachers. Soldiers must obey their military superiors. Sports players must obey their coaches, etc. Obedience is not due to superiors when they command something sinful. Love and care for one's own family is good. Helping the poor and the sick is good. Judging, denouncing, and punishing evildoers and other lawbreakers are good things. Okay, now that's the end of the natural law, the section on the natural law basic dogmas. There's ones where you have basic faith issues they can know, and then you have basic moral issues. I don't talk about that in here, but there's certain deeper moral issues or ethical questions about organ transplants and stuff like that. Those are deeper moral dogmas, and they're not part of the natural law. You need the church to come along and tell you what can be done and what cannot be done. So there's certain moral things that are deeper dogmas and that are not part of the natural law that the church needs to make a judgment on. Now, I'll end any questions up to there, because now next section I'm going to go on is called the non-natural law basic dogmas. All right, here's the non-natural law basic dogmas. Non-natural law dogmas can only be known from an external source, such as by hearing or reading about them. What follows are all the non-natural law basic dogmas. The dogmas in the Apostles' Creed, which states that, I believe in God the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. The dogma of the Most Holy Trinity, which states that there is one God and three divine persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Even though each of the three divine persons is God, there is only one God. As God, each divine person is uncreated, unmade, and eternal, and thus always existed and will always exist. Just remember three in one. Three divine persons in one God. The dogma of the Incarnation, which states that God the Son, Jesus Christ, became man in the womb of the Virgin Mary. Hence, since the Incarnation, Jesus Christ is both God and man, and thus has two natures. The nature of God from all eternity, and the nature of man from the Blessed Virgin Mary. Therefore, since the Incarnation, Jesus Christ is one divine person, as He always was, but now with two natures, a divine nature and a human nature. Just remember two in one, two natures and one divine person. The dogma that the Catholic God, Church, and faith are the one and only true God, Church, and faith. Remember before, the natural law can tell you that pagans can even know there's only one God, one church, and one faith. But this one, the only way you can learn what that is by that it's the Catholic God, the Catholic Church, and the Catholic faith is by external revelation, as St. Paul says in Romans 10:17, I think, faith coming by hearing. Those are the kind of things you need to hear about. So the dogma that the Catholic God, Church, and faith are the one and only true God, Church, and faith. The dogma that only members of the Catholic Church can be in the way of salvation, as this has to be one of the main motives for wanting to be a member of the Catholic Church. It's not just some social club, you know, where you get some benefits or you have some good, you know. Well, you do get benefits and you do have a good camaraderie, but that's not the main reason. That's one of the reasons. All right, now, the dogma that men who do not profess belief in the Catholic faith or adhere to non-Catholic religions, sects or churches, or no religion are not Catholic and are sons of the devil and thus are not children of God. This also applies to nominal Catholics who belong to nominal Catholic churches. The dogma that Satan is the father and author of all evil and thus of all sins. Catholics are banned under pain of idolatry, heresy, or schism from being in religious communion with non-Catholics and thus from performing religious acts with non-Catholics. The dogmas and one allowable opinion regarding original sin are as follows. Our first parents, Adam and Eve, committed the original sin. All humans inherit original sin, except Jesus, which is a dogma, and Mary, which is an allowable opinion, and there's a footnote on that. The doctrine that Mary was not guilty of any sin is an allowable opinion and not a dogma, because Pius IX, who would have infallibly defined it, was an apostate antipope, and thus his decree was null and void. Look for the next true pope to infallibly define it. Original sin is a deadly sin in the soul, and thus places men in a state of damnation and makes them children of the devil. Beware the heresy where Aquinas taught it's only the character of sin. It's not a real sin, does not cause real guilt, but just deprives you of things. That's a horrible heresy. So I read that again. Original sin is a deadly sin in the soul, and thus places men in a state of damnation and makes them children of the devil. Some of the consequences of original sin are pain and suffering to the body and mind, and eventual death to the body. Even after original sin and the punishment due to sin are remitted in the soul, the consequences of original sin still remain in the body and are known as the concupiscence of the flesh. And the last point is, the sacrament of baptism, when worthily administered and received, makes one a member of the Catholic Church and remits all the sins and the punishment due to sins. However, it is a secondary dogma that baptism bestows the indelible mark. You don't need to know that, the indelible mark thing, but it also gives that. Now, that's it. That's all the basic dogmas. That if you're in danger of death, you read those two pages is what it comes out to. You can come into the church and save your soul. And if you're denying any secondary, deeper dogmas, you don't have inculpably. You're only a material heretic and you're not guilty. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.